What's up, Stronger Nation, and welcome back to another episode of Stronger Failure, your home for mindset, motivation, and entrepreneurship. I am your host, Danny Cole. And first, guys, I just want to say thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being part of the family. I love you and I appreciate you. And because of that, I'm going to bring you a great show every single day. And that's exactly what you're going to get here today. Guys, you're in for a treat because today, as you know, we all go through difficult times in life, right? Whether it's mental, whether it's physical, whether it is financial, loss of loved ones, we all struggle in one area or another. We've either been through things in the past, we're going through something right now, or we're going to go through something. It's just these things that we deal with, right? And it's not what we go through, it is our mindset on what we go through and how we go through it, which is going to determine how successful or unsuccessful we're going to be. So today's show is dedicated to creating a stronger than failure mindset. We're going to talk about struggles, things that I've went through personally, things that my guests went through personally, and what we've done to go from there to where we're at now, and talk about where we're going to go and how we're going to get there as well, and how that's going to help you and help you get to where you want to be in life. So guys, you're in for a treat. My guest tonight, he has been through a lot in life, right? He's a young man, still been through a lot in life. There's been addictions, there's been loss of loved ones, there's been just, you're going to hear a story, it's going to be moving, touching, and it's going to be motivating. So without further ado, we are a special guest who I'm looking forward to being here, and glad he's here, is also my little brother, Brandon Kahimi. Man, welcome to the show, bud.
It is a pleasure, I do say, to be here, Dan. It most definitely is.
Dude, I'm glad. Yeah, I've been wanting to have you on the show for a long time. You know, it's the show is mindset, motivation, entrepreneurship, and it's all about getting from point A to point B. We all go through difficult times, and it's not about what we go through, but how we go through it's going to determine everything. So, man, tell everybody a little bit about who you are, things that you've been through, and we'll go from there first, man.
I guess we'll start from the sandbox.
Let's do it.
All right. So, I don't think anybody can say they actually had an easy life. Just being human, you're going to experience loss. You're going to experience tragedies. And the only constant in life is the fact that things are always changing. Always. Life always ready to throw you a curveball. So, you know, all the way from the beginning, growing up as a kid, you know, dad having his... And, you know, it never changed the fact that he loved us, but he struggled with addiction as well. So addiction, obviously, it runs in the family. I don't know how far it goes back, you know, as far as back as we know, you know. If you want to call it trauma or hardships or the struggle, because we all know the struggle is real. I love the saying because it's true. The struggle is real. We all experience it. From being, you know, a kid growing up in a chaotic environment, I would say, at times.
Let me ask you, because again, I moved out of the house back in 11th grade.
I guess, you know, this is just me being completely transparent and just raw, brutally honest. You know, the first memory I have as, you know, being a very young child in elementary school, could have been, you know, no more than first, second grade. Yeah. I actually just remember pulling up, me, Kevin, and Mom's in the car. Kevin's the youngest. He's a year younger than me. Pull up to the car wash, and, you know, Mom just freaks out, you know, has like a total breakdown and is hysterically telling us that, you know, Dad's on drugs. And that was the first moment. And then that's when I started to notice that certain things probably wasn't like normal.
Yeah.
You know, you get to a certain age where you start to become more aware of who you are, your surroundings, and what, you know, like, normal's one of those things. It's got a lot of gray areas, yeah. But you know what I mean.
Well, you know, what's normal for you is not normal for somebody else. But we all know that, you know, there's that level of, okay, this is not exactly right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Life is normal, but this isn't normal.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No. Mm-mm. This isn't within the parameters of being acceptable.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no. So that's the first time I remember, you know, okay, there's something's a little off here. You know, coming home and the house would just be destroyed. You know, like the trash can was slammed against the wall. Or it's just, you know, it's just chaos. Mm-hmm. You know, cops know you by first name basis. Just because, God, that's a whole nother, you know, rabbit hole we could run way into. But, yeah, so the moment that I guess was the most surreal for me was when, you know, I was 15. I was 15 years old, and it wasn't long after, you know, the house burned down. And I think we had to go stay with Brandy for a little bit, me and Kevin and Mom. And, yeah, it wasn't long after the house burned down that Dad died. And just the way he died in front of me and being at the house. And
how old were you then?
15. So, just, you know, it was a lot right then because I felt like Dad was finally coming back around. You know, like he was a year clean. Like, I was like, finally, okay, let's do this, you know. Let's actually mend what could still, you know, be mended.
Dad was one of the best guys that you would ever meet. Like, he'd give the shirt off his back, work 6 days a week ever since I can remember. And yeah, just because of the addiction, he wasn't there. Like, we didn't have Christmases sometimes. And, you know, he would be gone for, you know, days at a time. He'd go to work, just wouldn't come home because, you know, he was ashamed of what he did and didn't want to come home and face the family because he felt so bad. So there was days and, you know, longer than that we just didn't see Dad. So, yeah, so when Dad was clean for a year coming home, I bet that did, because, again, I was in my 20s at the time. I bet that did feel good having Dad, like, really be back around.
Because then you feel like, okay, you know what? You have to, just as a means to, you know, people as humans, we develop certain survival techniques, and sometimes, you know, these means of coping with our prevailing circumstances aren't healthy means of coping. It's just a means to get through. And, you know, at that time when all of this happened, I definitely wasn't capable of, you know, coping with the prevailing circumstances in any healthy manner. So that's when my addiction initially transpired and took off, and it started.
What do you mean? So, like, what happened?
So, after Dad died, it was me and Kevin and Mom in the house. You know, Mom loved her to death. She wasn't holding up well, you know, and it was like, you know, it was bad. And I felt kind of like, you know, being the oldest one in the house at the time, I kind of felt like I had to, like, hold the pieces together, if you will. And it was just too much weight to bear, you know, because I felt like I had to put my grieving process on hold in order to just basically go on autopilot and just hold the pieces together. In my head, I guess, just to kind of sum it up in a nutshell. So, my means of dealing with that was using opiates. And that spiraled out of control. But in my mind at that time, and I feel like it sounds crazy, but the guy who was in, God, what's his name? Forgetting Sarah Marshall, the dude, I think he's a British European guy. What's his name?
The tall guy?
Yeah.
I cannot remember his name.
Russell Brand.
I was thinking of the other. I was thinking of the white dude. Okay, Russell Brand.
Yeah, he's pretty woke. But, yeah, he actually talked about this in particular and how it's almost like an oxymoron, and it sounds a little, you know, I don't know, asinine, but it basically talks about how addiction, you know, saved his life, essentially. Mm-hmm. And how, if you look at it from a certain standpoint, yes, I mean, obviously there's nothing good if you're dependent on anything, but the fact of the matter is, if you're at a place that is so dark that you see only two options, which are, I'm going to end it because it's just not worth living and feeling like this anymore, or I'm going to cope by any means necessary and just get through this storm, and then I can brush the dirt off my shoulders later. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And, dude, unfortunately, that's what a lot of people do. Like you said, it's either take your life, or what can you do to not feel? Because those feelings are what bring you down to not even wanting to live. So, yeah, it's a lot of people get on opiates or other things to cover up that feeling, man. So, yeah. So, like, how long were you on that? And, like, what escalated, or how did you cope with it? Like, finish telling the story, man.
So, yeah. So, it started out with pills. And then a friend at the time that I was in high school with, and their family was, you know, doctor shopping. So it was just basically at a very young age, I had just essentially an unlimited supply of just a bunch of pills. And as it started out with, Roxy's. And then, well, initially it was Oxycontin, then Roxy's. And then it wasn't long that, you know, it turned into heroin. And once it gets to that point, you know, I don't think anybody ever, I have never heard anyone in my entire life say that they would love to grow up to be a drug addict. You know, it's not something that I think for a lot of people, and I can only speak from my personal experiences, but from my personal experience, I was ashamed always, the whole time. I remember even going to the dope man, like crying, like, oh, hating myself. And I had to go. I just couldn't afford to be sick. It was just like at a point you lose yourself and become a shell of who you once was. And then it's just, that's it. All you are is a drive for more of whatever it is that's your
then
drive.
How old were you when you started doing heroin?
I was probably 17, 18.
And then how long did you use for? Because I know you don't do it anymore, so that's where I want to get to next. But so how long did you go through this storm, dude? Because I know it was a while.
All right, so I probably started taking pills, you know, around 15 after dad, and after dad died. So from there, 18 started, you know, with the heroin. Went to my first program. Trying to recall how old I was. I was still pretty young. I want to say it was like at the Peachwood House or something. So, man, I was in and out of programs, you know, since from the ages of 17, 18 to, you know, in my mid-20s. And the last program I was in was actually a place called Mount Sinai. And not speaking bad on anywhere, it's really your mindset and where you're at. I was finally at a place in my life where I was done. I was fucking done. Everybody's got a different rock bottom, and everybody's got a certain point, a certain degree at which they're, you know, they're eventually really sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know, and some people's sick and tired is much lower than others, and they have to just, you know, go through that much more till they can get to a point of just being fed up with your life and being miserable every day.
So did you just wake up one day and say, okay, this is it? Or was it something that you saw, read, or you was just sick and tired of being sick and tired?
I knew. I almost brainwashed myself in a sense. Like I just grilled into my, literally every single day for weeks to months, I just ingrained in my mind. I knew without a shadow of a doubt that this is what I ingrained. That I knew without question, if I do anything at all to any degree, that I will never be anything, I'll never become anything, I'll just be a waste of precious life. And that's it, period. And I, from that point forward, I just knew, even now. I know they say never say never, and that's a whole nother, you know, topic, but like I know I will never be an addict again. I would never. I don't even think about it. If I could go through what I just went through and not even consider it, then I know that whatever life throws at me from this point forward, I'm going to tuck and roll, you know, like water on a duck's back. You just let it roll off and you keep trudging.
There you go. So, like, how was your mindset now? Because before going through everything, like, that's a lot to go through. You know, dad being addicted to drugs, dad having a heart attack, dying right in front of you at only 15 years old, you having to kind of deal with everything at the house, and there was a lot going on. You were young. So how is your mindset different now than then? I know it's completely different, but our listeners don't know. Like, so how, what do you think on a daily basis now? What kind of pulls you through every day? What motivates you, man?
Certain, it's the small things. One thing is, it's almost like a lot of folks are just waiting for that aha moment. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, you read about it, you know, people's talked about it, you know, that basically they're spending all of their energy, all their time and money and efforts into achieving this particular goal. Let's say they wanted to become captain of this team or win the Super Bowl, whatever that goal was. And once they get it, it's very anticlimactic, and they're just like, nothing changed. The way they feel, nothing. That aha, eureka, that just like, oh, mountaintop kind of feel never comes. And they just go into a deep depression. So it's a matter of, it's kind of like the stuff you'd hear back in elementary school growing up as a kid, and they tell you it's not about the, you know, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey, because it's real. It is about the journey. It's the people you meet along the way. It's the fact that you got other people to help carry you when you don't even feel strong enough to carry yourself anymore. Mm-hmm. So as humans, we're built for connection. You know, as humans, we have to reach out and talk to our fellow brothers. And it's a matter of stepping out of your comfort zone. And a huge part of it is the willingness to be vulnerable. Because Renee Brown, she's great. She's got a TED Talk, and she talks about vulnerability and how it is absolutely essential. Vulnerability is essential for real, genuine, pure happiness. If you keep that guard up, or you won't let people in because of whatever reason, you're only harming yourself in the long run in terrible ways. So, you know, do yourself a service and, you know, reach out if you need help, if you're struggling. You feeling like you're at that breaking point? There's nothing weak. It takes strength to admit that you can't keep pushing right now with all this weight, and you got to let it out. You got to cry.
You have to, Doug. It's only a lie that we tell ourselves, or the devil tells us, that, look, you're the only one going through this. No one's going to understand. You know, you're going to look weak, and you're going to look, you know, silly in front of somebody if you tell them what you're going through. But no, there's so many people, especially men that's out there, so many men that are going through difficult things in their life, and we're told, you know, not to cry, suck it up, you know, don't talk about it, you know, brush the dirt off, you know, you're going to be okay. But there are so many men, I know there's a lot of women as well, but there's a lot of men that are going through things in life that just need somebody to talk to. And guys, it is okay to, you know, reach out to one of your friends, to, you know, a relative, to somebody. I mean, shoot, find me on Facebook, or go to, you know, StrongerTheFailure.com and reach out to me. Like, there is always somebody that's there for you, that's going to have your back, and whether you just need an ear for somebody to, you know, so somebody can listen to you, or if you want some advice or something to bounce back off of. But we all need somebody at some point in our lives or another. We have to be vulnerable. We have to understand that we can't do this by ourselves. God didn't create us to get through life by ourselves. If he did, it'd just be one person on the earth. You can do it by yourself. That's why there's billions of people, because he wants us to connect on that journey, like Brandon said. It's not about the destination, because we're all going to achieve our goals. But guess what? Life keeps going. If you stop after you achieve that one goal, then what are you going to do? You're just going to sit there in a rocking chair and watch life pass you by? No, you got to keep moving. Those connections you made along the way, give them a call, talk to them, you know, nourish those relationships, find out how you want to grow next and what else you want to do. And so, like, what do you, like, tell me, like, I know you didn't start in a business, Brandon. Like, you've been through a lot. You've learned a lot. Your mindset's changed completely. You started a business. I mean, you've done a little bit of everything. So, like, she really, man, you still got more of a story. Continue with your story.
Hey, Danny, I just want to say it's an outstanding story, Brandon. And I want to commend you, man, because it takes a lot of strength. And you reached in at some point, and you found your strength, man. That's what's real. Everybody don't make that, man.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to commend you, brother.
That's real. I appreciate it, man. I really do.
Yeah, dude, like I said, you've been through a lot, a whole lot. You know, the drug addiction, dad dying in front of you, you know, us losing mom just 3 months ago. There's a lot. And I know what mom's put in me. The mom was on the show last year, right? You know, in 2022. Mom was on the show, and amazing, dude. Like,
oh yeah,
she's got so much. Like, mom is the best woman you'll ever meet in your life. And I know mom's put into you and I, dude, the motivation, the positivity, the being happy to leave other people better than when you met them, and just that drive to do more, want more, and have more for yourself and others. And dude, you've got so much of that and then some inside of you.
Yeah, mom has strength.
Dude, mama did.
Mama's a soldier, I'm telling you.
She was amazing.
It was a pleasure just meeting her acquaintance.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that, Derwin.
Absolutely. I tell you, and maintain class all the way through. Like, skip 4 or 5. Like, they had that sheet, Dan, remember we looked at, as far as they say signs to, that you know it's, like, you know, time.
Yeah.
And, like, half of it never even, like, happened. I mean, it was...
Yeah, all right, we're talking about, you know, because my mom... You know, she had stage 4 cancer. Whenever she got diagnosed, it was 3 years ago, November that just passed. So 3 years prior, she got diagnosed with stage 4, stomach, colon, liver, and lung, right? So, I mean, that's a lot. And she, like, through the whole time, great attitude, great positivity. Of course, there are times when she breaks down. And this is something I want us to talk about right now as far as loss and how we deal with that. But of course, there was times she broke down, but she was so positive, so happy. She was always, and if you listen to the podcast that she was on here with us, uh-huh. like her whole goal was just being there for us, being there and just living life, being there for the family, right? And like Brandon said, she was class all the way until like the end. I remember it was probably one day before Mama passed, and the nurse came over, and she had to do something, so I had to walk Mama out to the living room. Mom said, wait, you know, just as best as you could, wait, I got to put makeup on. They can't see me like this. So Sola put on the, mat. What did you put on her? I don't know what that is.
Eyebrows and eyeliner.
Okay, eyeliner and eyebrow stuff, right? So shit, my mom, to the end, she like was a woman, classy woman, wanted to have makeup on and have her hair done, right? All the way to the end. And
had pride.
Yeah, she did. Like, pride. She cared about how she made other people feel. She cared about how she looked, how she carried herself. Like, she was an amazing woman.
Yeah, very courageous.
Yes. And so I want to talk about that, guys. Like, one of the things that's going to be the hardest things in life, I know it's still ongoing for me, is losing my mom, right? Like, she was my best friend. We spoke on the phone every day, like, 5 times a day. Like, we'd message back and forth, talk back and forth on the phone. We'd had lunch 3-4 times a week. She'd come over and play Yahtzee. Like, I spent a lot of time with I'm a mama's boy, right? Like, through and through, loved her. And so losing her in November is one of the hardest things I've had to deal with. And again, nobody's perfect, right? We are still on a journey, growing, learning, changing, adapting, becoming better. And right now, I mean, I'll tell you 100%, I have still not dealt with this. Like, I have, like, seriously kind of blocked this out and not really accepted it yet. I have moments where I think about Mom and things went through. Like earlier today, I was telling Sola, was riding in the car. I said, oh, I'm going to call Mom. Then, you know, we realized that she's not, you know, you can't call her. But I pick up the phone all the time to call her, to tell her something, or just whatever it is.
Right.
And still, again, I break down and cry often. But then I, you know, again, this is how I'm dealing with it, right? Then I'll just stop. And I feel bad because I'm trying not to think about her because I don't want to know that this is real, right? That my mama's not here.
Absolutely.
And then part of that right there is me hurting inside because then I'm not thinking about my mom, who I love, who's a huge part of my life. So it's like a constant battle that I'm dealing with right now. And I know things will get easier. It's only been 3 months. Like, I know it's still fresh and new, and everybody handles things differently. But guys, like, it's, you know, this is a tough thing in my life, trying to push forward. And I'm going to push forward because I had conversations with Mom and told her what I was going to do for her after she passed. And so I'm fulfilling those things now. But again, it's hard to deal with. Very hard.
I'm pretty sure, Dan, and I'm pretty sure you know if she's sitting here and you know what she would tell you right now. And that would be, in her name, is to show the same courage that she showed, showing same strength.
Mm-hmm.
And she would pass it right to you, tell you to keep stepping, man. Because that's what she would want to see you do.
Yeah, with stage 4, all the way having to, she was out every day until like the last like 3 months. She was out every single day, driving to my house all the time. Like, dude, Mom was strong. Yes, Mom was, like Brandon said, Mom was a warrior.
She definitely was. That is unfortunately in our society today, it happens too much, and some people can't tell that story. Then that's what I'm telling you. You got that courage in you from your mom, and you got that strength. And your day is going to come because it's okay. How you choose to deal with it, it's your choice. Nobody can take that choice from you. Mm-hmm. When you decide to choose it, it's going to be there for you. So don't even worry about it.
Well, I appreciate that, dude. I want to, you know, me and Sol's watching the movie, and a guy was talking to, like, a parent, like somebody he just met or whatever, and she had said something about his mom, and he started talking about it. He said she had passed. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. If you don't want to talk about it, it's okay. So, no, he said, I love talking about her.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Sol, I can't wait. I can't wait till I get to that point where I can tell people, no, it's okay. I love talking because I do love talking about her.
Right.
It's still just hard right now. You know what I mean?
Right. It's that reality that you just don't want to deal with it right now, because you don't have to right now. Take your time.
Yeah.
But like I said, when you do, and you're going to have that big old smile on your face, because you're going to see her smiling.
Yeah. It's going to be that transition inside of me. Exactly.
So you're going to be just fine.
I appreciate that, Derwin.
Yeah. So keep stepping, man. Take it slowly. You're no win.
Yes, sir.
Nobody's opinion counts but yours.
Exactly. Because, again, we all, based upon our past experience, is going to determine how our mindset and emotional level and state is. So it's going to determine how we go through it and what we determine from it. And
right.
That's one thing I'm grateful for with Mom is the perception that Mom gave us, right? Like the view of reality. Hey, life is not what you go through. It's how you go through it, right? And if you go through it with a positive mindset, instead of saying, you know, you either fail or you win, instead of saying that, hey, you either win or you learn. Like, what can you learn from this situation?
Right.
A situation's only bad if you think it's bad. What can you learn from this?
What can you learn? Yeah, it's pretty heavy because, I remember my father passed. And like you said, I would stop and try to think I can give him a call, you know, and that voice wasn't there. And I never realized how, out of all the noise that you hear, how quiet the world was without that one voice.
Yep. And it's not the same.
It's not the same. And but we are now that voice, and we have to carry that torch. So, and sometimes when you look at it, you're like, I ain't ready yet, you know. But when you're ready, you're gonna be proud, and you're gonna do it just fine. So don't worry about it.
Well, I mean, kind of what just hit home is, you know, now we're that voice. Their voice isn't here, so now we're that voice for them. That makes a lot of sense, and that, you know, kind of, yeah, that.
Yeah,
that meant a lot. Yeah,
she's here.
Oh yeah,
I'm sitting here. I can see that she's here through you,
dude,
and through your brother Brandon.
Yeah, Mom and Brandon were close. Oh my God, they had so much fun, Derwin. I was always like, oh my God, Brandon's so funny. He said this or he did this, and like Mama loved Brandon with everything inside of her. I was like, so Brandon's your favorite. He's your number one. We always play around with Mom, right? She said, stop it. I don't have a number one. I said, we know you got a number one. We know Brandon's your favorite.
They all give me hell. Always give me hell. So, yeah, that's when me and Mom made a pact. We're like, look, Mom, we know. Just want to keep quiet now. Okay?
Real quick, though, when I said that, I said, Mama, Brandon was Mama's favorite. He didn't say, nah, man, I'm not. She loved us all. He did not say a word, did he? He's over here like,
And she was just a real thrilling lady. I still enjoy when she was rapping.
Oh yeah,
no, entertaining, no.
Dude. Man, oh, when she came up here, she was like freestyle rapping for Derwin, and
she had no fear of the microphone at all. She was just being herself, her lovely self. That's it.
Yep.
And she was a very bright light.
And
so,
kind of like Brandon said too, Mom was authentic. And she was vulnerable. Like, Mama told her story. She was vulnerable to everybody, which made her more authentic and more just somebody that you can talk to on any level. You know what I mean?
Right. And I saw how she did it for the family. I saw how her courage gave you guys courage.
Mm-hmm.
And it even spilled off into me. And I got courage. And I was like, wow. Because it was just that strong.
It's infectious, man.
Yeah. You know, that's a huge part of what pushed me as well into, you know, maintaining, you know, sobriety, being clean for you know, as long as I've been clean now is, you know, her strength. This her sheer strength, you know, because I was already, you know, I was doing all right. I was good, had some clean time under my belt, so real, like, you know, a few years. And then when I first found out, you know, it's not an excuse, and I'll never use it as an excuse. It's my inability to cope in a healthy manner, you know, and process the way I should have processed. So I fell off the wagon, and, you know, I owe my life to her. I mean, literally, like, if she there was twice I would have died if she was not there. She didn't call the ambulance, like, and it wasn't like I intentionally tried. It just happened. Like, it's terrible. This epidemic is real right now, you know. You know, people, their first time doing anything, or even the people that's doing it for years, you can get the wrong hot batch. That's it. You know, I can't count how many friends that I've had pass from, you know. Ashley, you know, Ashley was a great friend of mine growing up. You know, we were best friends for years. And, you know, she passed, God bless her. You know, Dustin Clark, you know, buddies I had that I went to the first program. I mean, it is unreal. I literally have, like, no friends left. Like, it's insane.
It is insane. And what's a shame is that this epidemic, the nation knows about it, but they don't put money toward it to help it.
No.
Do anything to save it, because they, unfortunately, look at it as a way of kind of controlling the population a little bit. Dealing with those kind of drugs, man, you just don't. It's like Russian roulette. You never know who it's going to affect. It could be 10 people in here, and we can give them the same dose. One person is going to freak them out and change their life forever. You know. So, and they know those numbers.
Yep.
And that stuff, man, is so potent, man. You really don't have a chance. Is that the number? If you fall in that category.
Well, the thing is, everybody's body chemistry is different. You're going to react differently. Yeah.
You have to be. You're going to have to reach back and grab all your strength, like I recognize that you did, Brandon. Because I knew it. I knew it. It takes that, because it's very few that get there.
Mm-hmm. And the ones that are able to get there, mm-hmm. one thing that I've noticed and I've seen, and with you, and I know what you're going to do, is the people who have came back from those type of addictions change countless lives because of it.
Right.
I mean, just their journey, their story, and then the majority of them go out and, you know, motivate, counsel, and do things to, you know, inspire, motivate, and help people get clean or stay off of or not even get on them because of their story. And, dude, like, your story is amazing. Again, everything that you've been through, how positive you are. And, like, I've had so many people tell me that, you know, it's just, like, being around you is a lot of fun. You make them feel like they're the only one that's around. They can be silly and just playful and just really be them and just have fun. Like, it's a lot of fun being around you. Me, dude, I love being around you. Like, when you and I are always together, it's a blast. Like, it's 100 every single time. Joking, laughing, singing. On Facebook, we had that song you and I were singing, the Wagon Wheel, that Darius Rucker song. So you and I was, like, videoed that and put it on Facebook. It's a couple years ago, and, like, so it showed up as a memory. And, right. Dude, like, see, we're just being silly. And just, like, I always have fun with you, dude, and everybody does. So I love that.
That's what you have to do, man. You, in life, let's just face it, folks. If you see this beautiful picture of, you know, each relationship being grand and nothing going wrong, then you're really living in a fantasy world, and that's never going to happen. You have to enjoy those small things. I'm talking the small things. And once you really live in that moment and learn to live in the moment, that's when you're going to start noticing yourself vibrating on a much higher frequency and being much happier as a person in life. Because it's the small things, like the smell of grounded coffee in the morning, the smell of coffee just in general in the morning, routines, you know, it's been shown that people are happier with, you know, that have a routine, a morning routine, a daily routine, nightly routine, whether it's brushing your teeth and following these certain steps, or waking up and meditating, giving yourself or whoever you're with positive affirmations, you know, starting the day off and setting the tone for the day and pushing that, you know, perpetuate that throughout the day, each day. And I mean, you just take it, that's one thing that, a part of this for me is you can't look at the elephant, you know, you kind of like the analogy, how do you eat a whole entire elephant, you know, one bite at a time. So you got to take that first step, you know, every marathon starts with the first step, you know, you can't look at the big picture. You have to live in this moment, live for now, and make the most of now, and cherish whether it's raining, whether it's sunny and hot, all hell, you know, whatever your circumstances are, appreciate the fact that you're even alive and capable of experiencing that moment. Because if you think about it, the good and the bad have to coexist, because one can't exist without the other. If everything was always good, everything would just be redundant, be boring. There would be no.
The thing is, you wouldn't know that it was good. It's just life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now, with the bad things that are mixed in, because, you know, we're not in heaven. You know what I mean? There's going to be bad things that happen. So, with that contrast of the negative, it really opens your eyes and, you know, your horizons to, okay, this is a great day. Really enjoy that. And a practice, you know, I'm sure everyone's heard it before. There's two things, like Brandon said, you know, one, having an attitude of gratitude. You know, so practicing this exercise, and me and Sola do it every day, sometimes a couple times a day. Now, I always ask her, say, babe, what are five things you're grateful for? And like Brandon said, it's like the small things. We're like, I'm grateful that for our babies, we got two cats, right? I'm grateful for the babies. I'm grateful that, you know, we had a good conversation. We had a good lunch. We had a good, nice steak dinner tonight. Like, you know, Sola's a phenomenal cook there. Oh, my God. Yeah, so we had an amazing steak. But, you know, going back to, you know, what are five things that you're grateful for? Do that first thing in the morning. That will set the tone for the rest of the day. You know, what are you grateful for? Have those routines because, again, like Brandon said, there's been scientific studies that prove if you have routines, you're going to be happier and you're going to get more done. The reason being is that when you have these routines, it's like you're having a to-do list, right? Your daily to-do list. You're checking these things off. What that does is shows, one, to yourself that you follow through on what you said you're going to do. Two, so you progressing throughout the day. And three, because of that, it's going to release these dopamines in your brain, which make you happier, which will increase your confidence. And by doing that, you're going to have a better day and build one day the next day. Like Brandon said, the elephant, one bite at a time. What is the biggest thing that holds everyone back is procrastination. Procrastination comes from getting old. You're looking at the picture. I've got to drop 30, 40 pounds, right? I've got to start a business. Where do I start? You're looking at the whole big picture. You get overwhelmed, causes procrastination, and you don't get anything done. Break everything down to something small that you can do daily, right? One, I'm going to tell you, start the day off with gratitude. Be positive. Have a daily to-do list. If it's dropping weight, go ahead and say, okay, the first meal of the day is going to be a smoothie. Then I'm going to watch what I'm eating. Eat 5 days healthy, 2 days bad, right? And check that off every single day as you're doing it. It creates progression. It releases those dopamine. It's going to make you happier, healthier, more confident, and it's going to get more done. Well, guys, I'm going to cut it short right now because we are over time. But I just want to tell you, I love you. I appreciate you guys. And remember, you are stronger than failure.
Hoorah!
Welcome back to Stronger Than Failure, your home for mindset, motivation, and entrepreneurship. This show is dedicated to helping you overcome your past, create unstoppable motivation, confidence, and clarity so you can become the best version of yourself in your business, relationship, and life. Now here's your host, life coach, entrepreneur, and international best-selling author, Danny Cole.
Let's do it.
You're rocking out with X360 FM.
We stay turned up.
Your favorite radio station.
Rocking all through the streets.
Keeping on lock. It's X in effect.